have a birthday. Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, the last book that Moses would compose, and it would be the last book of the law, the Torah, the book of Deuteronomy, the first verse. I'm going to read verse 1, and then we're going to jump to verse 6. This morning, we're going to be talking about God speaks. How many of you know we serve a speaking God? I love this. We serve a speaking God. God doesn't have to do. All he has to do is speak. He doesn't have to put his hands to it. All he does is speak and it happens. Listen, that's authority. We serve a God of authority, and it's authority when you speak. Don't you remember the centurion when he came to Jesus and he said, I too am a man under authority, and I say to this one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. He speaks. There's authority in speaking. When you get to that place that you don't have to demonstrate, you can just speak, then you know God is with you. When you can begin to speak to those things that are not as though they were. Come on, church, work with me just a little bit. I'm not going to preach long this morning. God is a speaking God, and when God speaks, something happens. Verse 1 of the first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness in Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. And in verse 6, Moses begins to speak. He says, the Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb. He said, you have stayed long enough on this mountain. Turn and set your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all their neighbors and to Arabah and to the hill country and in the lowland and in the Negev. And by the sea coast, the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have placed the land before you. See, I have placed the land before you. Go in and possess it. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to them and to their descendants after them. These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel. He's speaking to the congregation of Israel. How many of you know that if words have no one to hear them, if they fall on deaf ears, they mean nothing? You got to have a heart to receive the word. You got to have a heart to hear what God says. Pastor Ron said he remembers the first time that God spoke to him. And it impressed upon him so much that he never forgot it. These are the times when God speaks to us. We never forget them. But we got to have a heart to hear. Had he not had the heart to hear, he would have never repented. He would never have what he has today. He would not be where he is today. None of us would be. We got to be able to hear from God. We got to have a heart to hear from God. And often when I pray before service, and you guys have heard me pray before, I always say, Lord, give me an open heart. Give me a heart that's willing to hear your word. And let me be able to say the right thing. And Father, let it not land on deaf ears, but let it land on a heart that is ready and plentiful to receive. And he's saying these are the words that Moses spake to all Israel on the side of the Jordan in the wilderness. And look at this real good. Where was he? He was in the wilderness. He was in the wilderness. God spoke to him in his wilderness. Isn't it amazing why we can't hear God speak to us when we're going through stuff? When we have things that are attacking us and we're going through stuff, it's hard for us to hear God. Listen, he was in his wilderness for 40 years, but God continually spoke to him. And he continually heard from God. God was speaking to him. Now watch this. Moses had been disobedient. Moses had rebelled, but God still spoke to him. He spoke to him even though that he had been rebellious and even though he had been disobedient. God still spoke to him. Even though at times Moses did his own thing and God had nothing to do with it and did not include God, God continued to speak to him. I just find it so unusual that the modern church, we feel like that we have to be in some mystical spiritual place before God can speak to us. We got to be laying on our faces before the Lord, and we've got to have no sin in our life. We're afraid that if we remember what we did yesterday, God's not going to do for us what we need today. How many of you know that's the way the enemy speaks to you? The enemy continually brings up your past, and the enemy continually reminds you of yesterday and yesteryear. And all God is saying, all I want you to do is be obedient and speak to, and let me speak to you. And when I speak, I want you to hear me. And when you hear me, I want you to do something about it. I don't want you to sit down and hope that someone else will. I just want to be able to speak to you. How many of you know that if you love someone, you want to talk to them? If you really love someone, you want, God loves you. And God wants to talk to you, and He wants to carry on a conversation with you, and He wants you to be a part of that conversation. God is a speaking God, and you don't have to be in some mystical spiritual place in order for God to talk to you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God speaks in the middle of my attacks. I'm glad He speaks in the middle of my circumstances and in the middle of my situations and when things aren't going well and I really don't seem too spiritual at all. But God knows me and He loves me and He continually draws me with that love and He speaks to me. I don't have to wait till, you know, how many of you do like I do sometimes? When you start your prayer life, you'll say, Lord, I want you to forgive me of what I did last week. You bring up something you've already asked for forgiveness for. And all the time you're trying to have a conversation with God, God's trying to check to see what in the world you're talking about. He's already redeemed you from that curse. He's already taken that away from you, and you don't have to worry about that any longer. And it's redundant when you begin to ask God to forgive you over and over and over for the same thing. My God, have enough of confidence in God that His Word is forever true and steadfast and faithful, and it'll never fail you. Hallelujah. You need to begin to, when the enemy brings something to mind that is in the past, you need to begin to rejoice. You need to have a Sunday morning church service. You need to rejoice. You need to just get full of gladness and say, thank God I'm redeemed from that. Thank God that's not a part of me anymore. Hallelujah. We feel like that we can't, we got to be perfect in order for God to speak to us. Listen, it's amazing how when we bring someone to church, we try to make them just like us. Hello? I mean, you know, they're really not a part till they become just like you. Wow, just think, if you were the most spiritual person in this church, what would this church be like? Dear God. Well, where have we come in all of the journeys that we've been with God? How did we get to this place? We feel like that we've got to walk in perfection, and we feel like that we've got to have something special going on every moment. Sometimes God would just like to spend some quality time with you without having to speak to you about what you've done or what you haven't done, or speak to you about what you need to do. But sometimes He would love for you to just come and just lay your head on His bosom and say, I love you. Oh, we need some time to just have that spirit of John where we can just lay our head on the bosom of the Master and begin to tell Him how much we love Him. Tell Him how much He really means to us. And you know, I may act like I forget sometimes all that you've done for me, but I just want to come and lay my head on your chest this morning, Jesus, and say, I haven't forgotten a thing, and I want you to know I appreciate it, and I love you for it. And I want you to begin to speak some good stuff into my life. How many of you ever faced a situation you really did not know how to deal with? You face situations you did not know how to deal with. And you begin to pray, God, tell me what to do. God, show me what to do. God, sometimes you need to just stop where you are and say, God, speak to it for me. You're the speaking God. And if you'll just speak to it, it'll go away. If you just speak to it, it'll happen. I don't need to do anything this morning. I just need for God to speak into my situation. I need for God to speak into my circumstance this morning. How many of you are happy this morning? Raise your hand. All right, tell your face. Say, face, I'm happy. Listen, we just need to have God begin to speak to us. And let us know that He is still our God. And regardless of the circumstances that we're having to face, He can speak to them and they'll dissipate. Moses heard from God. And he heard from God in his wilderness. You're going to love this. Moses did not let all the garbage of his life prevent him from hearing from God. He didn't let all the garbage. Wow, if I have I have a lot of faults, but I would say my greatest fault is I let a lot of garbage rob me of my victory. When I say garbage, I'm not just talking about things I've done. I'm talking about things other people done that I still hadn't forgive them for. Uh-oh. Listen, we got to recognize the fact that we let garbage into our lives, and that prevents us from having the victory with Jesus Christ. It prevents us from being able to have those things that God promised us that we would have. And Moses did not let the garbage of his life keep him from hearing from God. How many of you know that the miracle is really in the hearing? The miracle is not in the speaking. The miracle is in the hearing. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes by hearing. How many of you sometimes need a little faith builder? I think we all do. We need for God to speak something into our lives that we can have a faith builder. We need for God to build up our confidence a little bit. We need for God to speak something to us that we've not yet heard ourselves. We've not yet thought of. And then God begin to plant that thing into our lives. And when He plants it into our lives, then we can begin to grow from it. And it will grow and it will become bigger than our problems and bigger than our circumstances. Because God wants to speak something good into your life. God wants something good coming out. Paul's greatest work, placed first among the epistles, he talks about how the world cannot hear the gospel unless they are sent preachers. God sends preachers to you. God sends preachers to speak into your life. How many of you know that preachers are not just filling pulpits? Preachers are everyday people. Preachers are in the office with you. Preachers are on campus with you. Preachers are at the gym with you, with y'all. You tell not me. But preachers are everywhere you go. You are a preacher. God sent you to preach. God give you a word. And listen, what you need to do is you need to get in your Bible sometimes and just say, Lord, just give me a word for somebody and then put them in my path and remind me that I'm supposed to give it to them. And when I go to spit and I'm anointed, it's all right. God is going to speak to us. We just need to hear Him. Listen, Isaiah 65:1-2 says, I permitted myself to be sought by those who did not ask for me, and I permitted myself to be found by those who did not seek me. I have spread out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a day which is not good, following their own thoughts. You know, I think that sometimes we just turn a deaf ear to God. Have you ever stopped and thought about it? So many times, God, don't let me turn a deaf ear. Even when I don't want to hear it, make me hear it. Even when it's not good to me, make me hear it. Because I know that, God, if you speak it to me, it's going to be for the good. It may not be for the good. It may hurt a little bit, and it may be tender when I pull the thorn out, but I know that when it heals, you're going to take me to another place in you. I found that God loves us, and He is in our wilderness, and that's where He's going to speak to us the most and not the least. God knows your troubles. He knows where you are. He knows what's happening in your life. And that's when He's going to speak to you. How many of you ever needed someone to just tell you it's going to be okay? That's what God does. That's what God does. God just pats you on the back and say, it's okay. Don't you worry about it, because when you worry, you're doubting me, and I'm trying to take you to another level in me. I need for you to get to where you can trust me, even when it doesn't look good. I need for you to be able to look the world and the devil right in the face and say, you don't scare me. Listen, we got to recognize the fact that God loves us, and if He loves us, He's not going to let us be destroyed. In the sixth chapter of the book of Judges, we find that Israel had been assaulted and was under continuous attack from Midian, from the Midianites. And there was this dude there named Gideon. Love old Gideon. He reminds me of me and you. There's this dude there named Gideon, and Gideon was hiding behind the wine press, threshing wheat. I wish I had time to preach to you about using something for something it shouldn't be used for. What's this? He was behind this wine press, and he was threshing wheat. In Judges 6 and 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat under an oak tree, and he said to Gideon, hey, Gideon, the Lord's with you, you mighty warrior. I love this. Hey, Gideon, the Lord's with you, you mighty warrior. Then Gideon, you got to love Gideon. First of all, Gideon knows he's not a mighty warrior. He's a coward. And he's behind the wine press threshing wheat. And watch this. Look at his answer to him. He said, well, if God's with us, why are we going through all this stuff? Where are all the miracles? Where's the wonders that we were told that God would give to us? If God's really with us, then why are we going? How many of you ever felt that way? Come on, come on, we all have. God, if you're here, why am I going through this stuff? Where are the miracles that I read about and that you've promised me? I'm here to tell you that God is with you, God loves you, and you may be going through some stuff, but He is not going to let the enemy destroy you. And just about the time you think you're going under, God is going to reach down, pick you up, brush you off, and send you on your way, and you're going to be shouting the victory. God loves you. Look at somebody and say, God loves you. Listen, this had to have been a real good conversation between Gideon and that angel. Every time I even think about this, it just comes to mind. Now, here's this guy. He's afraid somebody's going to take his wheat away from him, so he's hiding to thresh it, to separate it. So here he is behind this wine press, and here comes this angel of the Lord, tells him what a great warrior he is. He's wondering where all the miracles are. This had to be quite a conversation. I love it. I believe the angel probably said, Gideon, you're not a coward. You just look like one. You just sometimes act like one. But you're really not, because deep down, there's a mighty warrior on the inside of you. You can't even begin to read this passage of Scripture and not think about David. That when he went to fight the mighty Goliath, it was a shepherd that walked on that battlefield with a slingshot and five smooth stones. But it was a giant killer that left that valley that day. Deep down in that shepherd's heart was a giant killer. And deep down in the heart of this coward was a mighty warrior. Look at somebody and say, don't mess with me. Don't you mess with me. There's a mighty warrior deep down on the inside of me, and he's about to break out on you. Listen, we need to understand that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Greater is the God of Israel, and greater is the God that dwells in our heart than the whole earth can hold. Look at somebody and say, God's good. Come on, God's good. Oh, God is good. God's good. If God's with us, then where are all the miracles? Wow. You know, it really doesn't matter what you think of me or what I think of you or what anyone else thinks of us. It really doesn't matter. You know what really matters? It's what's in our heart. What are we really? Who are we? Who, even though we sin and even though we fall short of God, on the inside of us is a saint of the living God. Deep down is a saint waiting to be resurrected. But we always look at the sin and we look at the things of the world and we don't recognize the fact that Paul teaches us that we're going to have to get out of the flesh. And the flesh makes you look for fleshy things. And the Spirit of God makes you look for godly things. Kind of makes you wonder, what? Never mind. I'll get in trouble over that. Listen, Gideon heard from God right in the middle of the attacks, right in the middle of his enemies. You know what I found? I found that it's easier to hear from God when I don't have any hindrances whatsoever. It's easier for me to hear from God when everything is lovely in my life and everything is working well and everybody loves me and nobody is talking about me and nobody, which is never, and nobody is, and everybody is happy and all the bills are paid and I'm just walking on the glory clouds and I'm so excited because, you know what, anybody look at me and tell I'm a child of God. It's easy to hear from God when you're walking that way. But when all hell is breaking loose and everything is falling apart and your finances can't stretch enough to cover everything and everyone is talking not about you but against you and it seems like you have no friend to turn to, that's when God wants to speak to you. It may be the hardest to hear him, but it's going to be the clearest. That's when you're going to really hear him and you're going to say, God, you're going to have to speak loud and clear, because I got to hear from you this morning. Wow. I hear him the clearest when he speaks to me in my battles. You know what it does? It moves me to another level of confidence in God. When I'm in the middle of the fight, I'm in the middle of the battle and God speaks to me and I hear him and I know it's him. And he gives me direction and he pats me on the back and tells me it's going to be okay. It takes me to another level of confidence in God. It pushes me. It pushes me from being just a conqueror to being more than a conqueror. It pushes me to be not just the head, not be the tail, but it pushes me to be the head. It pushes me to be the lender and not the borrower. It pushes me to a confidence in God, knowing that all things are possible through him and also that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, when God begins to speak to me and brings that confidence into my life, you know what it does? It makes me want to get up and do something when I don't even know what to do. I just want to do something for Jesus. Wow. How many of you ever had this inkling to do something and you wondered, I wonder if that's God? I do that. I still do that, and I've been preaching for 45 years. But sometimes, is that God? And then Pastor Ron said how God talks to him. God speaks to us individually, differently. I mean, and it's according to the circumstance, because sometimes I'll say, God, is that really you? And he'll say, has the devil ever told you to pray for somebody? What's up with you? Come on. What are you doing with your stupid self? Get up and do something. I told you it's going to be okay. Gideon, you got to love Gideon. Gideon says, I think I'm just putting out this little fleece to make for sure it's God. I do that all the time. And the Lord will say, hey, Charles, you and Gideon are going to have a good time talking about this one day. Listen, we got to realize God speaks to us. He speaks to us individually, and he speaks to us personally. What's this, church? Deuteronomy 1 and 6, God said, you've dwelt long enough on this mountain. You're not going to move anywhere. You're not going to move forward at all until you get on the mountaintop. You're going to have to get away from where you are now. He said, you've been in this spiritual place long enough. I believe some of us have gotten to a spiritual place in our life, and we become happy with it. This is where God wants us to be. This is great. Everything's working wonderful for me. But God has something better for you on the other side of the valley. You're going to have to get off of that mountain. He told them, listen, Moses, tell them they're going to have to get off this mountain. You're going to have to move away from here if you expect to get the best from me. We don't serve a mediocre God. So therefore, we're not mediocre people. God wants us to know that we're special in his sight. And God's got everything in our lives under control, and he's not going to let the enemy destroy us. God says, you've dwelt here long enough. He said, you've been in this place long enough. You're going to have to move forward. Listen, church, we're going to have to plow new ground. We're going to have to move forward. We're going to have to do things we've never done before. Here I am, old enough to be most of you's grandfather, and I'm doing things I thought I'd never do again. Listen, church, we've got to recognize the fact that we cannot stay on this spiritual high, on this mountain, and win this city for Jesus Christ. You're going to have to move forward. You're going to have to explore new territory, plow new ground. I have a lot more for you than what you already have. God is speaking to somebody this morning. God has more for you than what you already have. God wants you to get up and receive it. God wants you to have it. Listen, there's going to be more valleys, but listen, there's also going to be more mountains. There are going to be more attacks, but there's going to be more victories. Oh, and don't forget this. This is the most important thing God wanted Israel to know. At the end of the journey, there's a promise waiting on you. Oh, I declare in the name of Jesus Christ this morning that the end of our earthly journey, there is a promised land waiting on you and I. And God is going to lift us up and bless us and call us his own, and the world will know that he is truly the God of the whole earth. Watch this. There's a promise waiting on you, church. How many of you know that you can sometimes get to a place spiritually and just stay there, but God said you're going to have to move. You cannot stay where you are and have what I want you to have. Well, once you move forward, I don't know, I guess this would be, that way would be forward. And I'm standing here. And if I took a step here, I'm no longer there. I'm here. Are y'all there with me? In other words, I've got to move. I've got to do what God's called me to do, and I've got to move forward in Christ. I've got to know that there's something better out there than what I'm having right now. Even in your relationship, how many of you know that if you don't move forward in your relationships, they will fizzle out? Anybody know what fizzle means? Anybody ever taken an Alka-Seltzer? They used to have this commercial, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Yeah, I know that's probably about 40 years ago, but what I'd like for you to hear in that is, see, when we were younger, we thought we were bad to the bone. But what really made you bad is if you could take an Alka-Seltzer and put it in your mouth and hold it there until it stops fizzing, then you bad. You are so bad nobody messes with you. I'm telling you, when you stand looking at one of your friends and he's got bubbles coming out of every orifice in his head, out of his nose and his ears, and he's trying to hold and bubbles coming out of his mouth, but he hangs in there, he's bad. He's bad. look, I want you to know that we don't want nothing to fizzle out in life. But sometimes when the fizzling is fizzling so bad, you wonder if you can hang on to it. But God said, hang on, because I've got a promise waiting on you. And if you'll get there with me, I'll bless you. And when you leave there, you'll know that I am the God of the whole earth, and you'll be blessed. Look at somebody and say, don't fizzle out. How many of you got in this thing to stay? How many of you got stick to it? And you listen, I believe that God has called you to be where you are, and God wants to bless you. You need to bloom where you're planted, as we used to say. I believe God is a good businessman. How many of you believe God's a good businessman? Raise your hand. I mean, he created business. He understands business because he created it. He's a good businessman. We're always asking God for stuff, and I don't believe a good businessman will invest too much in somebody that's not going to be around long. Oh, listen. Pop it in your mouth and hang on. Oh, listen. There's ways you can overcome those things that are that's a stick in your side. There's ways that when you have these things that are bothering you, like Paul did, there's ways you could get over. I used to, when I'd pop that thing, about the time it got to, and I could feel it come up, and my mouth get bigger, my head feels this big around, and my mouth's out here, and bubbles coming out everywhere. I used to pinch myself in the back. And I'd say, in my mind, I'd think, if I pinch hard enough, I won't think about that fizzle and that mess coming out of my mouth. And I pinch myself so hard I have to holler. And when I open my mouth to holler, I just shower everybody in front of me. Listen, church, we got to recognize that God wants you to hang in there, and God has called you to where you are, and he expects you to be a part, and you need to bloom there, and you need to be prosperous there, and he needs to be able to use you. And when he calls on you, he's got to know where you are. Let him invest in you this morning. Oh, wow. Listen, it would be, the Bible tells us that he said, take your journey, and you go, verse 7, and go to the countryside of the Amorites and to the all the places nearby there. Now, Moses was doing pretty good. The congregation of Israel was not at war with anyone anymore. They had had many battles, but they were at peace. And Moses was doing pretty good, and then all of a sudden, between him and the promised land, was the Amorites. That really he could have got in the promised land without going through the land of the Amorites. But God said, I want you to go over there because you got a devil over there you need to defeat. How many of you know that sometimes we just got to stop and defeat whatever's coming against us? You just got to stop and fight it. Because let me tell you, if you don't defeat it now, you'll meet it down the road. And God said, you got to go over there and you got to take care of this business. Everything going good, but now he's got to go over there and fight in the battle. Listen, we got to realize that it's easy for us to dwell on the fact that Moses had overcome all of his enemies for almost 40 years. He had overcome every enemy that came against he and the people of Israel. But Moses had a bigger battle to fight. Moses had a bigger battle to fight in his life, a bigger battle that he was going to have to deal with, and the battle was not going to be with an outsider. It was going to be an insider. He was going to have to battle with himself. Wow, that's the biggest devil you'll ever find, is the one within you. Those things that you got to overcome that are within you. Those are the battles that are difficult. Those are the battles that the enemy will use against you. He had a bigger battle to fight, and it was the one on the inside of him. Oh, we need to realize that our biggest battles are with ourselves. And that's the reason Paul began to preach and to teach that we must overcome the flesh. You have the biggest battle you'll ever face is not going to be with somebody else. The person sitting next to you is not your enemy. The person in your office that you don't like is really not your enemy. Your biggest battle is going to be with you. Let me tell you something. If you can get the attitude of Christ, I promise you that you'll overcome every battle in your life. Outside, inside, underside, overside, sunny side up, I don't know. You'll overcome all these because you have the Spirit of Jesus in you. What says he didn't have to fight anyone? How many of you know it's hard to fight with someone that don't want to fight? Listen, you know, if somebody come in, you husbands and wives, I know we're married. Sometimes everything's just not as lovely as you'd like for it to be, and you do have little discrepancies that you need to work out tactfully. And you recognize that you're in the middle of a little battle. And so you say, you know what, I've just made up my mind. I'm gonna make a point here. And you go to make your point, and they say, hey, baby, it's okay. Whatever you want to do, it's all right. Well, I want to fight. You can't fight with somebody who don't want to fight. Are you with me? We need to do what was instructed of the prophet by God said, I want you for a change to just stand still and do nothing. And I want to fight the battle for you. I want to fight this battle. This is a nugget. If you haven't heard it, you need to write it down. If you have heard it, it ain't the first time you've heard it then, is it? When I'm down to nothing, God's up to something. Oh, when I have nowhere to turn and nothing to do and don't know what to do, then I know God is about to do something great in my life because the battle that I fought was within myself and God's given me the ability to overcome it. Stand up with me. As you stand, I want to give you one point to allow the Lord to minister to you. Behold, I have placed the land of the Amorites before you. Go in and possess it. Behold, I placed it before you. And you go in and you possess it. I've placed it before you. He placed it before them. I just love this. He just placed it before them. You know what I believe? I believe God has placed some things. He's placed it before you. It's yours for the taking. They didn't have to send all those spies in and wonder what in the world they were going to do next. God said, it's yours. Go get it. Go in and take it. That saved a lot of time in the wilderness. They just went in 38 years earlier. We need to recognize the fact that God's placed some things before us, but we've not reached for them. I just believe that there's some people in this congregation this morning that God has placed some things in your life, and it's things that you've been trying to achieve, and you've been trying to work around them, and you've been trying to work to them. And God said, it's time for you to go in spiritually and possess it. Go on. Go on. It's okay. Ever head bow with me for just a moment, your eyes closed, and just go with me for a moment. I want you to take in your mind and you think of those things that you've sought for and you've worked for. God says, I've laid it before you. It's yours. It's yours for the taking. I've placed it there just for you. It's ours. It's ours. All we got to do, we just got to get off the mountain and go to it and get it. Go in and possess it. Maybe it's time we go to promise. God's given us a promise. Let's go to promise. If they had stayed on that mountain, they would have never possessed the land. And if we stay in this church, I don't care what we call it, we will never take this city in the name of Jesus. You can go home and act religious, and you'll never take this city in the name of Jesus. You can go to work or go to school and never get involved and try to evangelize Jesus Christ throughout that place, you'll never take this city. But if you start telling them how much God loves them, you'll take this city in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe this morning we need to go to this city. Every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'll raise your hand with me and say, Pastor, I'm ready to take the city in the name of Jesus. I'm ready to take the city in the name of Jesus. Those of you that raised your hand, it's time to get off the mountain. It's time to get off the mountain. It's time to go and take this city. God's called you and He's placed it before you. Let's take this city in the name of Jesus. Let's take this city in the name of Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. He's a great God and He's worthy of our praise. I'm going to ask you, if there's anyone that would like prayer this morning, I'm going to ask you to come up, and our pastors and our group leaders, if you'll come up here with us, and let's pray for those that need prayer this morning. You need healing. You need deliverance. You need whatever you need. God is here for you this morning. Would you come? As they begin to play, come and let us pray with you in Jesus' name. And those of you that have not contributed to the blood bank, the blood mobile still out there, I want to tell you, I'm O negative.